The young man fidgeted in the pew and let out a very audible sigh. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw his mom look his way, which was what he wanted. If he had to be miserable tonight, he was going to make others miserable too. "I don't want to be here," he thought. "We go to church every weekend. Why tonight too?" He wondered about how much longer the service would be as the choir stood up. He looked at his watch, wondering, "Am I going to be late?" But then the song began, and he found himself listening. "Okay, the choir is done. One step closer to leaving." Then the young man slumped down in the pew as the children made their way up to the front. "Oh, come on. The preaching guy hasn't even gotten up yet. This is going to take forever." He glared at his mom and dad. "Why do we have to be here tonight of all nights? I'm going to be late for Roger's party." But his mom and dad had said earlier that night, on Christmas Eve, family comes first. He had stomped to his room and got dressed, leaving his dress shirt untucked as a sign of defiance. He thought his mom would scold him, but she simply thanked him for changing. Slouching in the pew, he angrily tugged at his tie, which he was certain would choke him to death before the service ended. But then his kid sister and the children began to perform. He clapped along with the rest of the congregation as the children returned to their seats. "When is this going to end?" he thought, as Audrey bounced past him in the pew. She beamed as her parents hugged and quietly congratulated her. He watched his wide-eyed sister beaming from ear to ear, and he shook his head. "Christmas, it's just not what it used to be. I've heard the story so many times. Who knows if it's really true? I've been taught about God and Jesus since before I can remember. But do I really believe all of this?" he thought as the pastor stood up to preach. He turned around to scan the crowd to relieve his boredom when he saw Marissa. His heart skipped a beat as he noticed she was looking at him too. She smiled and then looked down at her shoes. He felt his face turn hot as he too looked away. But when he turned to glance back again, he saw Marissa intently listening to the man standing at the pulpit. Her gaze did not come back his way as her attention was focused on the pastor. Sighing, he began to listen too. And for the first time in several months of being at church, he began to hear the message. The closing song ended. And in the mass of people filing out of the church, he was not able to make it over to chat with Marissa. He had almost made it to her when an old man with strangely bright eyes blocked his path and started talking to him. He tried to politely answer the man's questions while slipping past him to talk to Marissa, but the old guy would simply not stop talking. "You can call me Gabe," he said. "Now, what's your name?" The young man mumbled under his breath, hoping to end the interaction. But Gabe started going on and on about what Christmas was like years ago. The young man finally gave up trying to end the conversation as he saw Marissa leave with her parents. He could almost feel the steam rolling off of himself as he waited for his family to stop visiting with others so they could finally go home. Audrey practically bounced on the car ride home. "Oh, why does she have to be so annoying?" he thought. "She is so excited for Christmas." Life was easier before. It's easy to believe when you're young, Now, my friends don't believe. They tease me about going to church. Oh, what are they going to say if I don't show up for the party? Oh, Audrey won't stop singing. Would you please be quiet? He snapped at his sister. He saw the hurt look on her face and felt like he had just kicked a puppy. That's enough, young man, his mother scolded him from the front seat. You'll be nice to your sister. In fact, I have had enough of your attitude tonight. I've had enough too, he answered back immediately and knew it was a mistake. His sister gasped at his response, but his parents didn't respond, and an uneasy silence fell over the car. He raced into his room and changed his clothes as soon as he got home. Without a word, he grabbed his coat to leave. Where are you going? His father asked. To Roger's party, what I've been telling you guys about. Yeah, about that. Your mother and I talked this over, and we think you need to stay home tonight. What? Why? Well, your grandparents are coming over for one. Number two, you snapped at your sister and your mother. And because it's Christmas Eve, this has always been family time. This is the time for us to reflect on God's gift. He couldn't stop himself. He was angry and talking without thinking. The young man shouted, I don't even know if I believe this anymore. I want to go to the party. I went to your church with you guys. Why can't I spend time with my friends? He threw his coat on the floor and stomped back to his room. His mother's voice followed him down the hall. You can just stay in there, young man, till you cool off. At first he thought, you bet I will. I'll stay in here all night, maybe even all day tomorrow. That'll teach him. But then, as he watched the snow falling out the window, a new thought struck him. What if Marissa's parents let her go to the party? He looked at the latch on the window. Mom and Dad will be so mad. But it's their fault. They're the ones being unreasonable. He thought as his hands seemed to take on a life of their own as they opened the window. The blast of cold night air brought him to his senses, and for a moment he hesitated, thinking of the potential consequences. But shaking his head, he threw on his sweatshirt, and before he knew it, his boots were crunching through the snow. As he crept away from the house, a pair of unseen eyes watched as he disappeared into the night. The young man was making his way across town when he passed a girl standing inside a payphone. He decided to ignore her and kept going. He was late enough as is. But then he slowed and stopped and looked back down the street. Growling, he kicked a bus bench, then jumped as a person who he had not noticed before sat up on the bench. The figure at first seemed just a bunch of clothes, but then began talking. Well, it's about time you got here. The young man blinked. What? You were expecting me? Well, of course I was. Now, what did you do with your bus? The old man asked, looking to the right and the left. Bus? What? I'm not the bus driver. He blinked again. The man on the bench was familiar. Well, what are you doing out tonight if you're not the bus driver? He asked. Hey, aren't you the guy from the church? Gabe, was it? The boy said, looking back over his shoulder. What you looking at? Gabe asked. Nothing. Sorry for disturbing you. You better get inside. Aren't you cold? With one glance back at the girl, the young man began to take a step in the other direction. She must be lost, Gabe said. The young man stopped in mid-stride. What makes you think she's lost? Well, that payphone doesn't work. And who spends Christmas Eve in a payphone anyway? The young man nodded. He looked around for someone else who could help the girl. And he saw a glowing sign down the street and thought someone in there should be able to help. He opened the door and walked inside, not realizing he had just entered an old city bar. He had wanted to stay by and see what happened when the bartender spoke to the girl. But the old man, Gabe, had grabbed his arm, and they left the scene so quickly, it seemed like he could barely keep up. He could not believe how fast the old man moved him. "Well, thanks for your help, my boy," the old man said, walking away. "You're welcome. Hey, where are you going?" "Got things to do. And aren't you meeting your friends?" "Oh, yeah." He had almost forgotten. With a wink, the old man turned back and walked away. His voice drifted on the cold night air. "May you find what you're looking for." The young man watched Gabe walk down the road until the falling snow hid him from sight. The young man realized that he was now only a couple of blocks from Roger's place, but his feet moved slower, not as excited now. As he turned down another block, he heard a familiar tune as if floating on the wind. He stopped to listen as a group of carolers were singing door to door. And as he listened to the song, he began to wonder, "When did I tell Gabe I was meeting my friends?" Right. As the song ended, the young man made his way to Roger's house. But again, his feet moved slower this time. He paused and he looked down South Station Street. That road would take him back home, back to his house. But before he could take another step, something hit him in the face. Before he could raise his hands, something tackled him to the ground. Fear gripped his stomach until he felt the cold of snow on his face. He wiped away the snowball as laughter erupted around him. Opening his eyes, he saw Roger leaning over him, smiling ear to ear. "Don't you know it's dangerous being out after dark?" Roger said. The young man pushed Roger away, but smiled as he sat up. His friends falling over themselves with laughter. Questions flooded the air. "What took you so long? We've been waiting for you. About time you got here." "What are you guys doing?" he asked. "Well, we got bored at home, so we thought we'd walk around town and see what fun we could have," Roger said. Soon the young man found himself running with his friends through town. They threw snowballs at each other and at mailboxes. They were laughing and having fun until they came to a house that was beautifully lit up with Christmas lights. All the boys stopped to take in the sight. The young man found himself walking in the front yard to the nativity that stood there. He looked at the glowing figures of Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, and the wise men. Then his eyes focused on the baby Jesus that seemed to shine brighter than the others. "Oh, great idea," Roger said, slugging him in the arm. What are you talking about?" "Let's take it." Roger's eyes lit up. "What?" He started to protest, but Roger reached down and jerked the baby Jesus up from the nativity. The light blinked out as Roger yanked the baby up. Everyone laughed as they threw the baby figurine back and forth. "Guys, I don't know about this," the young man started to say, but he was interrupted. "Scatter!" one of his friends shouted as the front porch light flashed on. The boys all ran in different directions. The young man and Roger raced together down one road, then another street, and then they dashed down an alley. Roger skidded to a stop as they burst forth from the alley, and a parked car's lights suddenly turned on, blinding both boys. The young man tried to stop his forward momentum, but in trying to avoid Roger, he did not see an ice patch. He slipped on the ice, wrenching his ankle and falling to the snowy pavement. "I think it's the cops, man," Roger frantically grabbed at him. "Come on." "I can't." The young man grabbed his ankle. Both boys turned and saw a figure getting out of the car. "Sorry, dude, I can't get in trouble again. Good luck," Roger said as he dropped the baby Jesus. The young man's mouth dropped open as he saw Roger run back down the alley, leaving him alone. His eyes flashed to his injured ankle, to the baby Jesus, and then to the car lights. Squinting and covering his eyes, he could see the figure making his way toward him. The car lights made the figure nothing more than an advancing shadow until it stood right next to him. He could not bring himself to look up at the officer. Instead, he clutched at his ankle and stared at the baby Jesus figure. Tears started to well in his eyes. "How did I get here?" he thought. "I didn't want this. I just wanted to have some fun." A voice broke into his thoughts. "Did you find what you were looking for?" The young man froze. He recognized the voice. He looked up and saw the hand reaching out to help him stand. He recognized the hand, his father's hand, his father's voice. Standing to his feet, he leaned on his dad. Steadying himself, he finally looked into his father's face. He expected to see anger or disappointment, but his dad's eyes were warm, his face full of concern and love. They rode silently in the car together, baby Jesus sitting between them. "How did you find me?" the young man finally asked. "I saw you leave the house." "What? But why didn't you stop me?" "Well, son, I knew you needed this. You're getting old enough. Your mom and I can't make all your decisions for you anymore. I just prayed that you would find what you're looking for. But I am your dad, so I thought I'd better follow you at a respectable distance." The car slid to a stop, and their footsteps crunched in the snow as they made their way to the nativity. The young man placed the baby Jesus back in the manger and plugged the light back in. He smiled as Jesus once again glowed with light. He told his dad everything on their way back home, about his friends and what had happened. Then he found himself telling his dad how hard it had been to believe in God lately. Christmas just wasn't the same as it was when he was younger. His dad listened quietly. Then he told his dad about the old man Gabe, the bar, and the lost girl in the phone booth. Finally, his dad spoke. "Bus stop. He was waiting for a bus?" "Yeah, I guess," that's what he said. His dad grinned. "Well, what is it?" "Well, son, everyone knows. Buses don't run in town on Christmas Eve." Silence fell in the car as father and son drove home. The young man stared out the window at the falling snow and smiled. "Wake up! Wake up, silly! What are you doing still sleeping?" Audrey rubbed her eyes. She blinked in disbelief as her big brother was bouncing on her bed. "Are you feeling okay?" she asked. He had not acted like this in a long time. His brother's face beamed as he laughed. "It's Christmas morning. Wake up." "Christmas," she said, fully awake now. "Let's go wake up Mom and Dad," the young man shouted, popping off of the bed and limping quickly out of the room, with Audrey close behind. "When did he start liking Christmas again?" she thought, as she followed, giggling, to their parents' room. Their mom plugged in the tree, and they watched the lights spring to life. Audrey climbed up on her dad's lap. "Are you going to read us the Christmas story?" since we didn't get to read it last night? She asked her dad, but her eyes fell on her brother, who knew he was the reason the tradition of reading the Christmas story on Christmas Eve had been broken. "Well, I think it's time for someone else to read the story," Dad said, handing the Bible to his son. "Thanks, Dad," the young man said, swallowing hard. And he began to read the story of Jesus' birth, a story that he had heard so many times. But this time was different. His thoughts wandered to the lost girl in the payphone. He thought of the ruined nativity from last night, and he thought of baby Jesus' light going out and then shining again when he plugged the bulb back in. His thoughts flew back to that special night thousands of years ago, to a real stable, a real manger, and a real baby that is the light of the world. And as he read of that night of all nights, it all became real. He smiled as he read. For the first time as he read, he believed. And now, our story comes to an end. From a family gathered together again at Christmas morning. And now, our story comes to an end. From a family gathered together again at Christmas morning, to the lost becoming found. To that special holy night so long ago. It is actually a story that never ends. It goes on in all of our lives. For on this and every Christmas, may you find the reason to believe. May Jesus, the reason for the season, give you the gift of belief. For that is truly the gift that brings the greatest joy of all. May God bless you, and Merry Christmas. Will you bow your heads with me now as we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here today standing before you or sitting or kneeling because you've given us a gift, your Son Jesus. And we celebrate that this Christmas season. Lord, may you give us the gift of belief that we might always, always be in awe of the wonderful story that took a God in heaven and brought him to a lowly manger to save the lost, to save me, to save you. And Lord, may we take this story and share it with others. May we tell them that our God, our Jesus, is coming soon. And in his precious holy name we pray. Amen.